Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Rozumienie ze słuchu. Poziom rozszerzony. Wysłuchaj dokładnie informacji dotyczących tej części egzaminu. Rozumienie ze słuchu trwa 25 minut i składa się z trzech zadań. Zadania te sprawdzają umiejętność rozumienia wypowiedzi rodzimych użytkowników języka angielskiego. Usłyszysz nagranie, które zawiera zarówno teksty, jak i instrukcje do wykonania zadań. Każdy tekst zostanie odtworzony dwa razy. Na płycie przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z treścią zadań oraz ich rozwiązanie, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz natomiast dźwięk. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania zgodnie z poleceniami, w trakcie słuchania tekstów oraz w trakcie trwania przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie czwarte. Przeczytaj uważnie polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
In 2008, an economics graduate and former businessman gave up the one resource we all crave more of, money. The man I'm talking about is Mark Boyle, who is in the studio with us today. Mark, you must have been an ardent ecologist if you took up such a radical challenge.
To tell you the truth, at first, I wasn't. In 6 years of studying economics, not once did I hear the word ecology. So if it hadn't been for the chance purchase of a video about Gandhi, the famous Indian leader, I'd probably have ended up earning a fine living in a very respectable job persuading Indian farmers to grow genetically modified food crops or doing something equally meaningless. But Gandhi gave me one huge lesson. He taught me that to change the world, we have to start with ourselves. One of the first things I realized was that I was looking at the world in the same way a medical practitioner looks at a patient, seeing symptoms and wondering how to fight them, without any thought for the root cause of the illness. I came to the conclusion that primarily, it is money that is responsible for the damage we inflict on our planet. If we grew our own food, we wouldn't waste a third of it as we do today. If we had to clean out our own drinking water, we probably wouldn't contaminate it. If we made our own tables and chairs, we wouldn't throw them out the moment we changed the interior decor. Money enables us to buy more and more and waste more and more, and the consequences are disastrous for our planet. So, to change the world, I had to start with myself, which meant I'd have to give up cash. I made a list of everything I buy and tried to figure out which items I could get in another way. For toothpaste, for example, I used some seeds. Most of the year I eat my own crops. I get around on my old bike. It's true that everything takes more effort in a moneyless world. Washing clothes takes a couple of hours of scrubbing with handmade soap. Even a cup of tea takes half an hour to make. But it's all worth it because the feeling of liberation and connection with nature it has afforded me compensates for the minor inconveniences. You might think it's frustrating trying to socialize with no money, especially if, like me, you grew up in Northern Ireland, where it's a show of manliness to invite your mates to the pub. But now I invite them back to my caravan instead, to have homemade food around the campfire, and in the open air it's much more fun. I'm often asked what I miss about my old world. What should I miss? Stress? Traffic jams? Bank statements? Utility bills? Definitely none of these.
Wysłuchaj tekstu do tego zadania jeszcze raz.
In 2008, an economics graduate and former businessman gave up the one resource we all crave more of, money. The man I'm talking about is Mark Boyle, who is in the studio with us today. Mark, you must have been an ardent ecologist if you took up such a radical challenge.
To tell you the truth, at first I wasn't. In 6 years of studying economics, not once did I hear the word ecology. So if it hadn't been for the chance purchase of a video about Gandhi, the famous Indian leader, I'd probably have ended up earning a fine living in a very respectable job, persuading Indian farmers to grow genetically modified food crops, or doing something equally meaningless. But Gandhi gave me one huge lesson. He taught me that to change the world, we have to start with ourselves. One of the first things I realized was that I was looking at the world in the same way a medical practitioner looks at a patient, seeing symptoms and wondering how to fight them, without any thought for the root cause of the illness. I came to the conclusion that primarily, it is money that is responsible for the damage we inflict on our planet. If we grew our own food, we wouldn't waste a third of it as we do today. If we had to clean out our own drinking water, we probably wouldn't contaminate it. If we made our own tables and chairs, we wouldn't throw them out the moment we changed the interior decor. Money enables us to buy more and more and waste more and more, and the consequences are disastrous for our planet. So, to change the world, I had to start with myself, which meant I'd have to give up cash. I made a list of everything I buy and tried to figure out which items I could get in another way. For toothpaste, for example, I used some seeds. Most of the year I eat my own crops. I get around on my old bike. It's true that everything takes more effort in a moneyless world. Washing clothes takes a couple of hours of scrubbing with handmade soap. Even a cup of tea takes half an hour to make. But it's all worth it because the feeling of liberation and connection with nature it has afforded me compensates for the minor inconveniences. You might think it's frustrating trying to socialize with no money, especially if, like me, you grew up in Northern Ireland, where it's a show of manliness to invite your mates to the pub. But now I invite them back to my caravan instead, to have homemade food around the campfire, and in the open air it's much more fun. I'm often asked what I miss about my old world. What should I miss? Stress? Traffic jams? Bank statements? Utility bills? Definitely none of these.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie piąte. Przeczytaj uważnie polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
In our weekly Vox Pop, we ask the public to share their thoughts on the latest changes in the music business. Here's what they said. Speaker 1. In my opinion, the future will revolve around finding innovative ways to use music, especially on the web. One example is music games. It's an exciting new concept that is likely to catch on because it's much more interactive than just listening to music. That's the direction the music industry should follow, and not just here but in other countries as well. People want to be more involved with music online, and the IT experts working for music companies will surely come up with some imaginative solutions. Speaker 2.
I believe the first step to making money from music is to ensure the current copyright laws are enforced. Many countries, including ours, have got a perfectly good copyright system in place. The law is there, the whole idea is just to execute it successfully. And if the law is upheld, then I think downloading will become less of an issue, and the opportunities for the future of the music business are enormous. I think we've got a great future as an industry, as long as the government has got the strength to step up and support copyright.
Speaker 3. People pay for mobile phones, broadband internet and cable TV, so why not music? I feel the subscription model is the way forward for the music industry. Companies have to make use of the current eagerness of those who want to enjoy their favourite tunes to accept some expense. Then there will be no need to punish people for illegal copying. I really don't think many people would protest against a moderate fee. Speaker 4.
A number of governments have introduced a system of fees on recording mediums like blank CDs and similar items. The money obtained from selling the items is used to finance musicians and songwriters for the money lost as a result of copying. If such a law works there, why don't we adopt such regulations here? I suppose what's good for people abroad might be good for us too.
Speaker 5. I think 95% of music that's downloaded illegally could be turned into music that's downloaded by legal means if we take the right steps. Instead of cutting people off from the internet, it would be better to send the worst offenders into studios for a week to do community service. There they would see how difficult and tiresome the process of making music is. I'm sure after such a lesson, they wouldn't even consider stealing music again.
Wysłuchaj tekstu do tego zadania jeszcze raz.
In our weekly Vox Pop, we ask the public to share their thoughts on the latest changes in the music business. Here's what they said. Speaker 1. In my opinion, the future will revolve around finding innovative ways to use music, especially on the web. One example is music games. It's an exciting new concept that is likely to catch on, because it's much more interactive than just listening to music. That's the direction the music industry should follow, and not just here but in other countries as well. People want to be more involved with music online, and the IT experts working for music companies will surely come up with some imaginative solutions. Speaker 2.
I believe the first step to making money from music is to ensure the current copyright laws are enforced. Many countries, including ours, have got a perfectly good copyright system in place. The law is there, the whole idea is just to execute it successfully. And if the law is upheld, then I think downloading will become less of an issue, and the opportunities for the future of the music business are enormous. I think we've got a great future as an industry, as long as the government has got the strength to step up and support copyright.
Speaker 3. People pay for mobile phones, broadband internet and cable TV, so why not music? I feel the subscription model is the way forward for the music industry. Companies have to make use of the current eagerness of those who want to enjoy their favourite tunes to accept some expense. Then there will be no need to punish people for illegal copying. I really don't think many people would protest against a moderate fee. Speaker 4.
A number of governments have introduced a system of fees on recording mediums like blank CDs and similar items. The money obtained from selling the items is used to finance musicians and songwriters for the money lost as a result of copying. If such a law works there, why don't we adopt such regulations here? I suppose what's good for people abroad might be good for us too.
Speaker 5. I think 95% of music that's downloaded illegally could be turned into music that's downloaded by legal means if we take the right steps. Instead of cutting people off from the internet, it would be better to send the worst offenders into studios for a week to do community service. There they would see how difficult and tiresome the process of making music is. I'm sure after such a lesson, they wouldn't even consider stealing music again.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie szóste. Przeczytaj uważnie polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
To find out what it's like to be a female driving instructor, we spoke to Kathy. What made you decide to set up your own driving school, Kathy?
It all started with my dad, who suggested one day that I should do an advanced driving test. I decided to have a go, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed the experience and how well I did. At that time, I was a sales representative, selling pharmaceuticals all over the country, and I was fed up with working really hard to make someone else rich. I wanted to be self-employed and do something at which I could be an expert, and I thought that since I had done so well at the advanced driving test, I might set up a driving school. Some of my friends had complained about their driving lessons, so I thought that there was a chance for me. My parents were a little cautious, but I was really determined to try.
And are you satisfied with your career choice?
Very much so. It offers so much variety. I'm involved in many different activities. Apart from doing driver training for beginners, I teach driving instructors, give presentations on road safety in local schools, and run a new project called National Driver Improvement Scheme. It's a special course which helps drivers who have had a crash to improve their driving skills. Just today, I did 2 hours driving instructor training, and then I went to St. Helens, 30 miles away, to coach on this improvement course. And tomorrow, I go back to lessons in my school. So as you see, each day is different.
There's been a lot of talk about accidents caused by teenagers. What's your opinion about young drivers?
I think we should be concentrating on parents because people start to learn to drive from the age of 2. They watch mum and dad, and how mum and dad act in the car becomes acceptable behaviour for those children. When we at the driving school get them at 17 and start teaching them to drive, they seem to accept our remarks and usually act accordingly. But the effect is short-lived. The moment they've passed the test, they immediately go back to the way of driving they've been used to for years.
What's unique about your driving school?
We're all trained in customer service. What I say to the customer is, I will put you with Charlie, and if you're not satisfied with him for whatever reason, ring me up and we'll swap over. If that pupil swaps to another instructor, The instructors will talk to each other, so there's a bit of continuity. However, a lot of learners are scared to change instructors because even if they've had a bad one, they're not sure that the new one will be better.
What plans do you have for the future of your business?
Well, basically, I want to be not so much the biggest as the best driving school in Merseyside. I'm looking to expand, but it will be on a one-at-a-time basis. I want my instructors to be satisfied so they don't want to leave. I want to ensure that they're really busy, so I won't take on anyone else unless I know I can provide a new instructor with enough work and also keep the old instructors busy. What's most significant to me is giving pupils quality service so they follow the highway code, respect pedestrians, and do not exceed the speed limit. It can't be the matter of just passing the test.
Thanks, Cathy. It's been great talking with you.
Wysłuchaj tekstu do tego zadania jeszcze raz.
To find out what it's like to be a female driving instructor, we spoke to Cathy. What made you decide to set up your own driving school, Cathy?
It all started with my dad, who suggested one day that I should do an advanced driving test. I decided to have a go, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed the experience and how well I did. At that time, I was a sales representative, selling pharmaceuticals all over the country, and I was fed up with working really hard to make someone else rich. I wanted to be self-employed and do something at which I could be an expert, and I thought that since I had done so well at the advanced driving test, I might set up a driving school. Some of my friends had complained about their driving lessons, so I thought that there was a chance for me. My parents were a little cautious, but I was really determined to try.
And are you satisfied with your career choice?
Very much so. It offers so much variety. I'm involved in many different activities. Apart from doing driver training for beginners, I teach driving instructors, give presentations on road safety in local schools, and run a new project called National Driver Improvement Scheme. It's a special course which helps drivers who have had a crash to improve their driving skills. Just today, I did 2 hours driving instructor training, and then I went to St. Helens, 30 miles away, to coach on this improvement course. And tomorrow, I go back to lessons in my school. So as you see, each day is different.
There's been a lot of talk about accidents caused by teenagers. What's your opinion about young drivers?
I think we should be concentrating on parents, because people start to learn to drive from the age of 2. They watch mum and dad, and how mum and dad act in the car becomes acceptable behaviour for those children. When we at the driving school get them at 17 and start teaching them to drive, they seem to accept our remarks and usually act accordingly. But the effect is short-lived. The moment they've passed the test, they immediately go back to the way of driving they've been used to for years.
What's unique about your driving school?
We're all trained in customer service. What I say to the customer is, I will put you with Charlie, and if you're not satisfied with him for whatever reason, ring me up and we'll swap over. If that pupil swaps to another instructor, the instructors will talk to each other, so there's a bit of continuity. However, a lot of learners are scared to change instructors because even if they've had a bad one, they're not sure that the new one will be better.
What plans do you have for the future of your business?
Well, basically, I want to be not so much the biggest as the best driving school in Merseyside. I'm looking to expand, but it will be on a one-at-a-time basis. I want my instructors to be satisfied so they don't want to leave. I want to ensure that they're really busy, so I won't take on anyone else unless I know I can provide a new instructor with enough work and also keep the old instructors busy. What's most significant to me is giving pupils quality service so they follow the highway code, respect pedestrians, and do not exceed the speed limit. It can't be the matter of just passing the test.
Thanks, Cathy. It's been great talking with you.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął. Sprawdź, czy wszystkie rozwiązania zostały przeniesione na kartę odpowiedzi. Następnie przystąp do wykonywania pozostałych zadań.